This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
It is Long Shots, golf betting podcast here on the VSiN Podcast Network. I am Matt Brown. That is Kelly Bidlin. That is Wes Reynolds. Back in the saddle. Did a little travel. Went down to Louisiana. Rode on a float. Threw some beads out to people. Went down to New Orleans. Played TPC Louisiana. They're getting that thing ready for the tournament here in a couple of weeks. So that was kind of fun as well, but happy to be back here with you guys. I'm going to assume, unfortunate for everyone. I just want to let everyone know I wasn't on the podcast last week. I had actually all top 20 finishers in order. And that's it's unfortunate that I wasn't here to get those out.
That's impressive.
I had every single one of them. I hit the 20 leg exacta on that.
I'm assuming you bet that, the exacta, right? At that shop that posts that.
I had all 20 finishers directly in order. And unfortunate for me. I had the meltdown there by Sung Jae and everything. It was fantastic. The
craziest part of that is you've done that before on other weeks where you've been off. It's just wild that it's happened multiple times.
He even dodged the Brant Snedeker bullet.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it was one of those where I was like, you know what? I think that this is the Snedeker week, but he's gonna fall off on Sunday.
He's gonna fall off right at the end. Yep.
Yeah, just down there. Real quick, because we've been running ourselves a little short on talking about the current week tournament, so don't want to spend a ton of time last week. Any quick notes from either one of you guys? It seems like Fitzpatrick's been on the brink here for the last couple of tournaments, and so does get across the finish line. Obviously, did take a Sung Jae melt. Anybody that was with us Sunday morning on Ready Set Bet, I was like, I would bet Fitzpatrick this morning if I were all of y'all. I mean, Sung Jae played two terrible tournaments. And then played three good rounds. I don't know if he's going to hold it up for all four. But Wes, anything you're carrying with you here?
Well, first, congratulations to Kelly. He was aboard Matt Fitzpatrick for the outright win. You know what? I've been chasing him. I think Kelly and I both have kind of been chasing him all spring. Yeah. And then I get off the horse the week after the Players because I'm like, man, that was a tough way to lose because he really didn't do much wrong to lose that tournament. Cameron Young just made a great putt at 17 and Fitz had one bad drive and that pretty much cost him the whole thing. It's not like he like gagged a lead away like all these other guys like Sung Jae did certainly on Sunday and like Daniel Berger did at Bay Hill, like a lot of these guys have been doing. And I didn't get back aboard because I'm like, man, can he get off the deck and win this event? And he held on, won the battle of attrition, made the 15-footer for birdie on 18. So I'm mad at myself that it's like, okay, now I mistime it. Now I don't stick with a guy. And then when I don't stick with him, he goes ahead and wins. So that's a theme for a couple of my selections this week, a couple other guys I've been chasing. But great tournament for him. Wins by one over Lipsky. Jordan Smith finishes solo third. Xander and Cantlay get the backdoor top 10s as they were two of the shorter prices for the tournament. And then you mentioned Sung Jae ends up falling down the leaderboard, finishing fourth with Marco Penge. Brant Snedeker actually was the co-leader of the final round, and he had not won since August 2018. He's basically kind of a part-time player right now. He has other interests going on with junior golf and stuff. Ends up, I believe, I think top T22, I believe.
Kelly, congrats to you, my friend, on Fitzpatrick. Like I said, it seems like he's been kind of knocking on the door here for a while. He is an inspiration to me as I can't chip. And so I'm going to try the cross-handed chipping when I go out to the range starting next week. So I'm going to do that because, hey, if it works for him and I can't chip, then I might as well try it and give it a whirl. But Fitzpatrick, certainly a guy that specifically you two were on a ton about 2.5 years ago. Then he kind of hit a lull there for a while. And certainly seems like he's kind of back where he was when you guys were on him. It seemed like every single week.
Yeah, totally. I think what was nice, or maybe lucky is the way to put it, Wes, is that, you and I kept talking about, we thought these putter numbers were going to get better and better, and it was still just a meh putting week from him, too. The ball striking just continues to be so good. So that's carried over, and look, that's a large part of what we do when we talk about these stats every week. What can you continue forward with consistently, and what do you need spike weeks out of? And usually we're looking for those consistent approach players and kind of building around that. So I think that was nice, maybe lucky to get home. Wes brought it up on Monday on a numbers game. I think just overall impressed with where Fitzpatrick and Schauffele are at right now, kind of in the upper tier of golf after what they had to do with the players the week before, to come back the very next week and be involved with it all the way down the stretch at a very tough golf course. Impressive, but they are two of the best out there. So maybe not shocking, but impressive. And then Lipsky, right? We've all maybe bet Lipsky at one point or another. He had some moments where I thought he looked really good in that final round, in the last couple rounds. And Jordan Smith, too. Jordan Smith is, I know, a guy that we've seen mainly over on the DP World Tour. I haven't seen as much over on the PGA Tour here. I thought he was really impressive, and I think I was most scared of him kind of on Sunday once Sungjae kind of started to fall off. So there's some impressive performances. I think, seeing Griot, Jaeger get good top 10 finishes is nice. Let's see if that can continue. Those guys can build off of that. And then, Sungjae, right? I think I was kind of laughing about it end of the week beginning of this tournament. Like, okay, NCAA tournament's going on, and the books are just about to scoop up all this golf money if Sungjae Im goes out and wins. This is Sungjae. We were still waiting, coming back from injury, if he was going to run, when he was going to round back into form. I don't really know if anybody was betting him last week. I sure didn't hear anybody. So felt like it was going to be all that for a while, and then it swung probably very hard on the sports books with Fitzpatrick winning instead.
Yeah, it was, being out of town, I was able to play some DFS. Aaron Rye cost me all the money. I had a Fitzpatrick, Sungjae, Bridgman, Xander team it went Griot, and then but Aaron Rye was on the team and he missed the cut. And so it was a great DFS week, but boy, what could have been? What could have been for sure there in that one. But off we go, heading over to Texas, the little mini Texas swing here. So we are going to be at the Texas Children's Houston Open, the Memorial Golf Course there in Houston, Texas. About $10 million purse here for this one, 500 FedEx points. Top 65 in ties, about 133 players are going to tee this thing up. As we say each and every week, you can be a VSiN Pro subscriber and head over and read Wes's full breakdown over there. But Wes, let's give them everybody a decent idea of what we got here over at Memorial.
Yeah, Memorial Park. It is a public golf course, actually, in Houston. They moved it here in 2020. It used to be at, I think, TPC, the Woodlands, for many years. So it's owned by the city of Houston. The Astros Foundation, Jim Crane, of course, the owner, kind of saved this tournament from extinction because it lost a sponsor. So Astros Foundation operates the tournament. They committed to the redesign. You can actually play this, I believe, for like maybe a little less than $50 is a greens fee for a weekend round. So it got redesigned in 2019 by Tom Doak, who's kind of a Pete Dye / Alistair McKenzie protege, with an assist from a guy that's in the field this week, Brooks Koepka. Par 70 and five par threes, three par fives, 10 par fours, 74, 75. So it's the second longest non-major course that these players have seen on the PGA Tour. And it's a little bit more wide open because a lot of the trees got cut down a few years ago. Only 24 bunkers on the course. That's the fewest of any on tour. Water in play on four holes because this is a public course. So they don't want this to be such a difficult course. And it hasn't been difficult for the players. Min Woo, by the way, winner for us last year at 35 to 1, won this at 20 under par. So they switched the agronomy as well. They used to be all Bermuda. Now you got POA overseed on the greens. Very little rough here, too, by the way, only about 1.25 inch ryegrass. Greens are relatively big, 7,000 square feet on average. It's going to be firm and fast because it doesn't seem like there's been a lot of rain. I think there's a chance of rain maybe on Thursday, but this is going to be a firm and fast golf course throughout. Many of the greens are elevated. You got some runoff areas, some false fronts. You're looking high 80s Thursday, Friday, and then it gets into the high 70s. Over the weekend, maybe a little bit of wind on Saturday, but this is going to be firm and fast. And we'll talk about this more when we get into kind of our stats, but this is, you're going to hit the driver a lot on this course, by the way, because there's not a lot of penalty for not doing so. This is not like last week, where it's kind of like, hey, you go a little bit less than driver. There's some dog legs. There's some forced layups. Not really here at Memorial Park.
No, not at all. Highest driver usage on the tour here in this tournament. And Kelly, whenever you look at this, I mean, honestly, it's pretty straightforward, but that doesn't mean they're going to light the course up. I mean, it's a handful of bunkers. It's a couple of water holes out there. It's length and it's these greens. And I mean, and that's just what it's going to be. It's going to be long approaches for a decent amount of these guys. Obviously, the longer hitters are going to have an advantage in this, but it's long approaches and the fact that these greens are all over the place. And if you hit the wrong part of the green, it could actually be worse than if you were off the green mm-hmm. because you're putting on like what looks like a putt-putt circus putt and all that type of stuff. So, I mean, you're going to be watching this going like, how are these guys not just absolutely lighting this course up left and right? And it's going to be because these approaches are coming from very far out and these greens are about as tricky as they come.
Yeah, and especially if they start getting dried out, right? And this is, Matt just hit on something there that, like, you're going to see. Like, guys will pass up. They might settle for a shot that's going to end up being a chip back onto the green than a putt from 50 feet away. So that's something this week. And look, I think that can mess with stats a little bit. So be careful, you know, if you're looking at greens or regulations or opportunities gained or something like that. Maybe want to pivot this week, but that, yeah, I think it's interesting. I like any of these courses where we kind of get a different handicapping challenge, and it's look, it's very heavy distance this week. And around the green play matters. I mean, there's not a ton of courses that we're going to say that combination at. And yeah, Wes, it was nice looking back at my records from last year. Min Woo Lee got a win. There's a reason why Min Woo Lee won here last year, and his game should fit. That's what he does very well. He drives the ball far and well, and he has very good around the green play. Mm-hmm. So it absolutely makes sense why he was able to pick up a win a year ago. And hopefully we can get right back at it. Hopefully Min Woo can maybe pick up another one. Who knows?
So fortunate enough to have a couple of buddies that live down there in Houston, are very familiar with the course and have been down there and around. And this is just anecdotal stuff. Take with us what you will. But, you know, kind of like it is out here in Vegas with us, guys. I mean, unseasonably warm, just warmer earlier, which has kind of made that Bermuda a little bit more active. You know, they're overseeding all of that. The whole overseeding process, typically, because Bermuda is just such a tricky grass and it's very finicky and all of that. But it might be a little more active than we saw last year with it being as warm as it is and all of that. And so just keep that in mind, because as we know, Bermuda chipping off of those tight lie Bermudas and different things like that is just very, very difficult. So I, as Kelly mentioned, I think around the green, scrambling, stuff like that is going to be maybe even more paramount this year than even it has been
The other thing I'll just bring up quick, Matt, is if for some reason, hopefully nobody's like this, but if for some reason someone you are the person who's handicapping golf and waiting for long shots every week and waiting to see what weather stuff I share, well, this is just Houston. Punched it. Houston is a big freaking city. So just if you're seeing this stuff go up, like kind of Matt's talking about, okay, if you know more detailed weather towers or something you want to go look at, go ahead. Everything I'm sharing right now is just Houston, Texas weather for this upcoming week.
So as we take a look at the odds board, Min Woo Lee, your defending champion, is the short shot. And, you know, listen, Min Woo is probably in better form now than, you know, we've seen him maybe on his entire PGA Tour stint here. Mm-hmm. The guy is, when we mentioned this when we were kind of, you know, trying to back him a couple of weeks ago and stuff, he really has become a full, well-rounded golfer. And that's like, you know, I think that some of the time we like to lump these guys that hit the ball a long way into just like a bomber category and stuff. And it's like, that's not necessarily the case with all of these guys. And it's certainly not the case with Min Woo, who's become a very, very well-rounded golfer. But what you will see is the field. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, we've got like some decent names in this thing. Min Woo and Goddard up and Burns and Knapp and Kitayama and Koepka and Fowler and stuff like that. But it's certainly not star-studded as we are, you know, approaching the Masters. Guys are certainly have a plan as to how they go into the Masters, what events they want to use to try to set up, you know, their run and all of that. And so, Kelly, as you took a look at this and it popped up, was there anything that really was crazy to you from a numbers perspective?
Man, well, we've got the Scheffler problem too, right? We had to reset after we had a Scotty Scheffler withdraw here on Tuesday morning. Thank you for the text message, Wes Reynolds. That was definitely breaking news for me as I was on the air and had to scramble. Look, this is tough. Matt, keep me in check today because I haven't gone back and compared all my numbers from what I ended up betting last night on whether these would still be bets without Scheffler in the market. Mm-hmm. I think, though, after just kind of seeing this board reshuffled, yeah, I think this is probably right. I think Minwoo should be the favorite. I would make it probably smaller than the gap is between him and Goddard. Look, I think this is a really good Chris Goddard course as well. So I think those two would be my clear favorites at the top. I think you could argue after that. And we'll get to it. I went back to betting Jake Knapp this week, but I think there's a lot of kind of just warning yellow flags with guys this week, right? Like we've seen Jake Knapp deal with a back problem recently, and we haven't really seen him put together a full tournament since he's had to withdraw with that. There's that. There's Ryan Fox was a guy we were talking about a few weeks ago that I was getting close to making bets on this week. And he just had to get surgery for kidney stones a couple weeks, and he's back playing in this field. So I think there are some people to be maybe careful with this week. But yeah, I think as far as resetting these odds, this looks about right for me and how the order should be at the top of the board.
Wes, as we kind of, you know, we'll get into some of the guys that we bet and everything like that. But, you know, this is an unfortunate circumstance of us recording when we record and the mm-hmm. Scotty Scheffler timing of the withdrawal and things like that, because numbers are going to be different. We'll still talk through the process of all of that, but you know, with the reshuffling and whatnot, you know, if you bet yesterday, it's different than if you bet today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So even some of these numbers hopefully aren't too stale. I'll try to give you what is at least close to available, but mm-hmm. yeah, everybody gets cut. Kelly was mentioning with Minwoo. I saw somebody had him at 10-1 out there. It's like, wow, Minwoo should be the favorite, but you don't see Minwoo at 10-1 very often, even yeah. though he is a very capable player, as we've mentioned earlier. But yeah, everybody pretty much gets cut. So some of these numbers that you might see on social that, you know, had I'll mention Ryan Fox that might have had him at like 90-1. Yeah, that's not available anymore. Or some of these guys that were 50-1 or so on what's his name? Marco Page, now you're looking 28-1 or 30-1 basically with them. So yeah, a lot of these numbers get cut, but I think Kelly is right in terms of the top of the board, the top two guys. And then there's kind of a glut of players who I think are in very similar right now. When you look at the Kittyamas and the Nikolai Højgaards and the Tjur Bornsens and all those guys kind of in that mid range, anywhere 28-1 to as high as about 70-1. There's a lot of them, and it seems like they're kind of almost like right in a pile, and you can just pick a couple out of a hat there.
Yeah, it is going to be, it is certainly going to be interesting as we get into this and break this all down from a stat perspective, modeling perspective, guys. Again, if you're just joining us, you're just catching up with us over there on YouTube. Hello, how you doing? Appreciate it. Hit that subscribe button, hit the little bell and all of that. We do not do the modeling from the back end. We take the hard work of other people. We go in then and plug in all the stats that matter to us. We weight those stats accordingly and all of that. So the information is unique to us. Just the model behind is not certainly proprietary to anything that we built or whatever. So shout out to all of the people doing the hard work out there, the BetSperts and the Rick Rungoods and Data Golfs and things of the world and all of that. So get that little housekeeping note out of the way. If you haven't gotten where I'm at with this one, obviously driving distance massive for me this week. And it's such an incredibly long. The other thing we didn't like highlight, it's an incredibly long course. It's a par 70 and it's not a par 72. Yeah. Like, so not only is it a super long course that is a par 70. So like that lets you know it's even longer than the other long courses that are out there on tour. And so, you know, distance first and foremost, paramount to me, followed very closely by the approach game. As always, we talked about these tricky greens, but I didn't do approach, I think, as heavily as maybe some people will, because Kelly, like you mentioned, I think a lot of people are going to be okay with understanding that this is just going to run off a certain side or it's going to whatever. And I'm going to be chipping or, you know, Texas wedging or whatever it might be, trying to get this toward the deal. So around the green scrambling type stuff. Played a little bit more where I think some people might weigh approach super, super heavily in this event. I kind of like siphoned off some of that and put it into scrambling and around the green and see if the people can't kind of shine in all of those areas and see how the models spit those people out. Par five scoring, you basically have to score on the par fives here. They're the holes that you can easily score on, and so those are the ones you got to score on. Minwoo birdied, you know, par fives all four rounds a couple different times and all that. So a couple different holes, I should say. So those are the main things here for me with this one. And I think just the main difference I wanted to point out is that I think that some people might go as high as 30%, I think, on around like approach for this week and all that. And I didn't do that. I still heavily, as we always do, with like, I think I ended up on 18% or 20% or something like that. But funneled what I would have normally put on approach into kind of the scrambling and around the green stuff.
Yeah, I'm right. I can just jump in, Wes, because I am very similar to Matt. It sounds like it is. Yeah, I was just kind of going over my numbers, Matt. I'm pretty equal. Kind of what I punched in for approach and around the green, you know, kind of around the green scrambling, bogey avoidance, that type of stuff. Right around kind of that 20%, like you said, for approach numbers here. But yeah, it is, look, off the tee, heavy distance. And then yes, that's the scrambling around the green more than usual. I think I've gone in years past with pretty light or no putting. I guess this has been more consistent for me this year. And all right, it's working so far, I guess. I'll keep doing it. I'm just doing strokes gain putting, like, lightly. And I think it's just some of the tiebreakers, some of just who's some of these guys that separate themselves a little bit on the greens, especially when we keep talking seemingly week after week, doesn't matter which state we're in, how that, you know, the overseed or the greens being a little funky. I think just going with that stroke gain putting, for me, at least, that's the way to go right now. I also did over Rick Rungood. I punched in the bonus putting, which, just thinking we are going to deal with some long putts, that basically takes into account putts made within 5 feet, and then I think it's outside of 20 that you make. So kind of, you know, those bomb putts, we're going to see a few of those this week. So kind of wanted a way of sorting through that data as well. Other than that, though, a lot of what you talked about, the par five scoring, approach numbers, yeah, but heavy off the tee and heavy around the green.
Wes, I didn't put in any accuracy stuff. As you mentioned, we're only talking like an inch and a quarter. For those dudes, that's nothing. For me, that'd be massive. I ain't trying to hit. I had no inch and a quarter up. But like these dudes, for these dudes, it's nothing. It's whatever. So like, I didn't put any accuracy.
I didn't either. So that's why I didn't use strokes gain off the tee or really use a lot of total driving, which can oftentimes be a tiebreaker stat for me. In terms of off the tee, I use distance, obviously, and there's a lot of carryover for this, but I thought it was interesting. Memorial Park is about not only hitting it long, but hitting it pretty damn hard off the tee on these firm and fast fairways, because you will get a little bit of a roll. So I noticed that they're now tracking ball speed off the tee from the point of impact off the tee. And by the way, I'll list a few of the guys you would expect these guys, because they're long on distance. Gary Woodland, Aldrich Pottgieter, Rasmus and Nikolai Højgaard, Christo Lomprecht, the big 6'9 guy who we saw as the leader of the first round of the Open a few years ago. Marco Pange, Jesper Svensson, Minwoo. So all like the big hitters are on that list. From an approach standpoint, I used a little approach, but I emphasized a little bit more of one of the proximity buckets, and that was 200 plus yards, because you're going to have a lot of those. I think a third of your approach shots are going to be from this range. So you're going to have to be good with the long irons here, no matter how long you hit it off the tee. Around the green, I did a little bit more as well. I think about a quarter of the strokes here are gained around the green. And we've been mentioning Minwoo a lot, of course, the winner for us last year. Remember, he hit kind of a poor second shot on 18, and he had to, you know, hit that chip really close to hold off Scotty and hold off Gary Woodland and all, and those two guys that finished runner up. So you've got to be very good around the green and with scrambling. But going back to the driving distance a little bit really quickly before I continue on, if you look at last year's leaderboard, Minwoo the winner, Woodland and Scheffler tied for second. Scotty can still hit it a long way, and we know Woodland can. Thalamaki was kind of an outlier. Like, there'll be an outlier of a guy that's not really a bomber, but Wyndham Clark, Taylor Pendriff, Rory McIlroy, Alejandro Tosti, Rico Hoey, Stephen Yeager, who won the year before for us when Scotty missed that par putt at 18, yeah. Isaiah Solinda. Like, these were all guys in the top 14 that are absolute bombers off the tee. So you're going to want to have at least a couple of those guys. It might not be bomber, bomber, bomber throughout your entire card, but you're at least going to want to have a few. Some of the scoring stats, bogey avoidance, the greens are sloped and will run fast. So you're going to have a test, a little bit of three putt in there for me, three putt avoidance. And then birdie or better, winning score was 20 under. I don't know if it'll be the same, but Memorial Park has played a little bit differently than it played in the fall when it was in October. So the scoring's been a little bit lower and the weather doesn't look like it's going to be much of a problem for these guys. But the one thing about this thing, and we kind of call it driver spike putter week, putting is the hardest to predict and the hardest to handicap. But if you look, this has turned into a putting contest. Minwoo, by the way, number two in strokes gained putting for his win. Yeager was number three. Finau was second. Kokrak, when he won, was third. Carlos Ortiz, when he won, was fifth. So you got to have a real good spike putting this week. I went with a little bit more general with the agronomy because the Bermuda might not be as dormant, Matt, as you and your sources down there in H-Town kind of pointed out. But, you know, it is POA overseed. But the greens have, you know, undulations. I don't think that it's not like bumpy POA or anything like that. So these should run pretty smooth and true. They're just going to run pretty fast. So I did do some strokes gain putting to close it out. And then obviously I mentioned the three putt and the bogey avoidance.
If, you know, if you're a person who's kind of just getting into watching golf and different golf tournaments and stuff like that, and you really only watch the majors, the really big tournaments, I will say this is a super interesting tournament. I mean, it is a test for all these guys. And honestly, when we talk about the finishing stretches, like, I love the finishing stretch here as well. I mean, you take a look and this is 15, 16, 17, 18 are like four completely different types of holes that are going to determine this tournament. Like, there's a short par three on 15. Then there's a risk reward, go for it in two par five on 16. And then there's this short par four that is like super precision accuracy stuff because there's hazards and bunkers and things like that. And then 18 is a super long par four that you're basically just trying to get out of there with par. And so, like, it's a super interesting finishing stretch in this one, which, again, if you're live betting this thing, if you're trying to protect a bet that you've got and all of that, just understand that this is, there is risk reward. Like, someone can come catch your guy, and also your guy, depending on how conservative he wants to be and all that, can allow himself to get caught, to be caught. And so I you know, say it all the time. If you're betting a longer outright and you want to bet $50 on the dude, just put in $5, $10 bets, because you can cash one of them out and then you still have $40 riding on the guy, but you're not going to be heartbroken whenever he ends up bogeying 18 or whatever. And all, like, just, it is a solid golf betting outright strategy. It costs you $0 to do it. It does. If you want to let it all ride, you can let it all ride. It doesn't matter, but break up those outright bets. It is, it will pay off for you. Trust me on all of that. So, Wes, as we threw things into the model and things got spit out, what did you end up putting into the account so far? And I will say so far because, again, we are recording this on Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific time. We still have plenty of time to maybe have something jump out at us or add some placement market bets or some head-to-heads and things like that. So be sure, as always, check VSiN.com for that.
Yeah, and I'll start with one that I actually left off that I'm still not 100% committed to not playing this week, but I haven't played so far because I did use him last week. And it is Brooks Koepka, who, of course, was the consultant on the redesign here at the Memorial Park Golf Club in Houston. And, you know, you would think, okay, the guy's going to know every nook and cranny of the course. The approach game was great, and he actually gained with the putter. He's having trouble hitting fairways, but I don't think this is the week where he's going to be penalized, so I understand why people like him. But I ended up leaving him alone, and I started with one that was mentioned earlier in the program by Kelly, Jake Knapp. I think he's still like plus 2250 at DraftKings. Of course, he did withdraw from the API, missed the cut at the Players. But if you look at what he was doing before that, fifth at the Farmers, eighth in Phoenix, eighth at Pebble, sixth at the Genesis, 11th at the Sony to start the season. The guy's just really good on driver-heavy tracks. You look, he was fifth at Torrey earlier this year. He's third in 2024. won the Mexico Open at Vedanta Vallarta in 2024. Fourth last year in Detroit, which is kind of a take driver heavy, bombing all over the place type of course. So Jake Knapp, plus 2250. Some of these numbers have drifted. I got them all in like the 33-1 range, and I got a trio here because I couldn't decide. Wes, yeah. Go ahead.
Let me jump in real quick because I bet Knapp too, and I think this is an interesting conversation because I don't know.
Well, if so did I. So there you go.
We can just go ahead and move it along here with that.
Yeah.
Are you guys concerned about the back at all? And did you bet him any differently? Because honestly, I did. I did bet him differently than I have in past weeks. And I just went with an outright in a top five. I didn't mess around with matchups or top 20s. Or anything like that with Knapp. I think he's fine if he's playing, but it's a back. It concerns me enough.
So that's where I fall. It's like he didn't have to play this tournament. I mean, like if it was any concern whatsoever, I don't think you're going to put yourself in harm's way with the Masters only a couple of weeks away. So I'm taking it as he thinks he's fine because this is not a tournament he had to go play, and I cannot imagine you would go out and travel over to Texas to go play a tournament when you're not 100% and you've got the Masters in a few weeks. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat here. So, you know, I'm banking on kind of trusting the player, and I know sometimes that can be dangerous, but, you know, trusting it that he's going to play this week, and this is probably the last tune-up. Some other guys probably are doing San Antonio next week for the Valero, but I just had to go with him. I just thought that he fit so much, and so did some of these other guys that I just decided to play them all instead of picking and choosing and hoping I get it right. I'm going to continue chasing Nikolai Højgaard, by the way, and I got him 33. He's probably at 28 right now, at least market average. 55th at the Valspar last week. It was only his second finish outside the top 30 in the last 11 events. Not only the distance in the approach, but he's got the putting. He's gaining over a half stroke per round with the flat stick over the last 24. So Nikolai Højgaard, like him and Rasmus, you know, kind of profile the same, but Nikolai, I think, has been in a little bit better form. So I went with him. And then name I mentioned earlier, Marco Penge, who was fourth last week, by the way, at the Valspar, number one in ball striking, number two in total driving, number four in GIR. He's not known a lot on the PGA Tour, even though he kind of showed up a little bit at the Genesis, was a contender going into the weekend and was a runner-up in the Scottish. But he won three times on the DP World Tour last year in 16 events. Guy has a lot of game, an Englishman, and he is super long off the tee, seventh in distance, number one for strokes gained off the tee. So I went with him this week. A lot of people were playing him last week, and he ended up having a good finish. And I was like, maybe this week is going to be the better fit. So I did bet that accordingly. And then Michael Tjørborgensen, and this is my narrative street play, because last year we were aboard Minwoo Lee. Remember, he was the 36-hole leader at the Players last year before he shot 78 and 73 and finished 20th. And then 2 weeks later, he arrives in Houston and wins it the first time. Well, hello, Michael Tjørborgensen, because kind of a similar situation. He was in the Sunday pairing with Ludvig Åberg, and he took that snowman early on the front nine and shot 77 to finish 22nd. So maybe history is going to repeat itself. Number two in total driving, second in the field last year for strokes gained off the tee. This is a guy that I think we've talked about that his win is going to come soon. And I think that this would be an ideal place for him because we've seen a lot of first-time winners here, certainly in recent years. And then the longer shots I played, Ryan Fox, 70-1. You can now get him to about 60 in the market. Kelly mentioned the kidney stones that forced him with the withdrawal from the Players, had to have surgery for that. It's usually a couple-week recovery process, so he's back. Top 25 last four events, including his seventh at the Genesis. He was in the final pairing, if you remember here, with Minwoo and Toasty. Our guy Toasty was in the final pairing last year. And he finished T15th, had kind of a bad last couple holes that really took him out of it. But he's won twice on the PGA Tour in the last calendar year, one at Myrtle Beach, one at the Canadian Open, and really good in terms of proximity from 200+. Third in this field, 15th for distance. He fits the profile. And then the guys that are near triple digits, one has drifted under this 24-year-old Canadian rookie who I think most golf fans got their first glimpse of a couple weeks ago at the Players when he posted a low early number, Sudarshan Yellamiraju.
If If this guy wins, you and every human being on the face of the planet is going to be doing a victory lap except for me. I'm the only person not on this.
I know.
I've heard 500 people talk about him already. Like, this is unbelievable. Like, I'll admit, he's high in my model. Like, he is like, yeah, he's inside the top 15 in my model and stuff. I'm just like, I'm like, holy mackerel, this kid. But it's the truth. Look at the stats, Wes. They back it up.
Yeah. And the story, of course, he taught himself how to play. He's a 24-year-old Canadian PGA Tour rookie. He was playing on PGA Tour Americas predominantly last year. He taught himself how to play golf by watching YouTube videos. And it, just an amazing story. He is first in total driving this year on the PGA Tour, to your point about the stats, Matt. 15th in distance, 25th in accuracy. Not that that's going to matter much this week with these wide fairways and non-penal rough. 7th overall for proximity to the hole. 2nd for proximity in 200+. And I think he's 16th, I believe, in birdie average and strokes gained putting. So he's kind of been, you know, driver, spike type putter player. He is very, very public long shot, if you want to use that term this week. But hopefully a lot of us get rewarded. And then another long shot I took, 100-1, Michael Brennan, who the hype has died down a little bit because remember, he won 3 titles on PGA Tour Americas. So that gets you promoted to what? Right. The Korn Ferry Tour. That's the next step. Well, he said goodbye to that and got that sponsor exemption at the Bank of Utah last fall, and then won on his PGA Tour debut, which got him his card on the big tour. 3rd in distance, 6 in total driving, 6 for strokes gained off the tee, in a course where the driver's the biggest weapon. Like with some of these guys, putting's not necessarily great, but 10 for proximity, 13 for proximity from 200+ yards. So Michael Brennan at 100-1 closes out the card. A couple of the guys I mentioned, Brooks was one I didn't play. I also considered a couple veterans. I did consider Tony Finau, who has won here before. That price has now been shattered. Yeah, I think you can get him consensus maybe about 60-1 out there. I did consider that. But there's a lot of guys you can make case for as this event is now wide open with Scotty's withdrawal.
Kelly, we both end up on Jake Knapp. Wes, to kind of put a bow on a couple of guys that you mentioned that didn't make my card, but were close. The thing about Torbjornsson, if you look, I mean, with him, it's the ones where you either can't use driver or it's super penal for driver where he's been struggling. Obviously, like, you know, Pebble Beach, driver didn't matter there. Arnold Palmer, Bay Hills, obviously super penal for whatever. It's him. It's basically sometimes the driver accuracy leaves him for a tournament, but like, that's not going to be the case here. Like, I think he's just a very strong play. If he's not a bet for you guys out there, if you're playing DFS or something like that, I think that he is knowing that he's not going to bury himself if he happens to be a little spray with the driver, I think that that is going to be really, really big for him there in that one. And Kelly, you and I both end up on Knapp. I mean, there's really not much more to say about him in this one. Where
what's more to say, Matt, is you could easily make the argument he should be the favorite in this tournament.
Right.
It statistically, might be, he profiles.
It might have been, right, if it wasn't for the injury and the and all of that.
Yeah, easily could be.
So outside of Knapp, who did you end up on?
Okay, I'm going to be really boring. It looked less boring before Scotty Scheffler withdrew.
Hey! If you think your card is boring, wait till you get to my. I have the chalkiest, most boring.
You might be joining me then. Okay, I have 3 outrights. You know what? Now knowing my friend Matt Brown, I'm going to guess the one we differ on is that Sam Burns is on his card and he's not on mine. Am I right?
He is on my card.
Okay, so then you could name the rest of mine because I bet these guys every damn week. Minwoo Lee, Jake Knapp, Chris Goddard. Load them up, lock them up, let's go. I'm ready to ride with my boys again. And it's so much easier. So much easier, fellas, when you come off a win. You know what I mean? It is so much easier to make these bets when you come off a win. We all know that feeling, right? Where you're like, I might have concerned myself over these details 2 weeks ago. But no, I'm going to fire away. So those are my 3 outrights. We've talked through Knapp, love him. I think this is another Goddard up course, I think he's flying under the radar a little bit again. I don't know that Minwoo should be that much more of a favorite than Goddard up. You know, and if you took away the win from a year ago, I don't really know that he would be right. So look, this is tough. We're talking about the numbers now. I got Minwoo at 22. 15, is that where we're staring at, right, with Minwoo?
That's the best number out. That's the best number out.
I think the best out there is 15 on Minwoo, yeah.
I think I'm still going to say I would bet my card the same way still. It gets even less fun, but I'd still bet it the same way. Minwoo outright, Jake Knapp outright, Chris Goddard outright. I was a little surprised you could still get plus money. And I made this bet before the show, so I know there's still plus money out there on top 20s on Goddard. I don't really get it, but okay. I went top 20 on Goddard, Thor Bjornsson, Nikolai Højgaard. Geez, for the fifth week, yes. Like this is I don't I'm not betting about right, but I'm going back to the top 20 market again for the fifth straight week. A placement market bet with Nikolai Højgaard, and then Keith Mitchell, my boy Cashmere Keith, back on the card, 2-1 in the top 20 market with him, and then one I'm going to also guess. Matt Brown's on. This is a complete shot in the dark, though, because he's bet him a couple times this year. He's been modeling really well. Adam Scott, come on down, plus 175, top 20 for Adam Scott. I think you could go all Australian or New Zealand card this week and actually stand a pretty good chance.
So you did very well, Kel. Like I said, boring card for me. And here's the thing. We've talked about this a lot. Like, I typically run 6 to 8 models every week with varying like weights and do whatever. It's like, I know what golfer I want for this tournament. Yeah. I ran two models. I did it over 40 rounds, over 20 rounds, and that's it. Right. Because like, I have a profile of a dude I want. Now, if it doesn't play out, then so be it. But like, I would be shocked if the profile of the golfer who wins this doesn't play out. So yeah, Knapp. Burns, who, by the way, who's gotten sneaky long. Was one of the dudes who spent the off season really, really working on his club head speed, really, really working on optimizing himself off the driver. He's averaging about 312 now off the tee, where he was kind of one of those dudes that was sitting right at 300. I mean, he's gained a full 12 yards really off the tee this season. So a guy that is getting out there. And there's something there. We talked about the spike putting weeks and how this could be a putting. We know about him, and he's a birdie maker as well. So that's another thing that I really like about him. Around the green game could be leaves a little bit to be desired, but that I can deal with, because hey, then we'll be okay with all of
fairways,
that.
Greens, and get a hot putter for Sam Burns. We've seen it play out before.
Yeah, and so here we go again. Yeah, Nikolai Højgaard. So I'm on him again this week. Boring. But guess what? He is, now that you remove Scottie Scheffler from the model, in the 40-round model, he is first. He is first because you remove Scottie Scheffler from the model, and then when you move him from the 20-round, he is third. And so a guy that I'm still getting at 20, you can still get at 28-1 out there right now on Højgaard. I'm looking at a screen right now. You can get him at 28-1. With this profile, I mean, like, it's so incredibly good. And again, we're going to a place now where the driver, he can be a little bit looser with it. He bombs it, and so it's not going to be as penal as it would be at the Players and at Valspar. So I really, really like him a ton.
I finally thought this was going to be the week, guys, where I stopped playing him. But it's like, look at the putt that he just doesn't stop gaining with the putter. And then even when I go, okay, but around the green's going to matter this week.
His finishes have cooled off a little bit, because remember he had those three top sixes in his first handful of events. But, you know, I think sometimes that happens, right, where a guy is still playing consistently good golf, like he's not missing cuts, but maybe he's not in contention. And then all of a sudden you see him kind of spike a little bit. So he could be that guy this week.
Yep.
And Kelly nailed it. You take Scotty out. Adam Scott is third in the 40-round model, and he is second in the 20-round model. He is my age, by the way, 313 off the tee average. Good for inside the top 20 in this tournament. This guy is still hitting it a very long way. And if you look, one of the rare golfers in my model this week that is actually green across the board in all of the stats that I put in. Now, barely on around the green, he's basically even, but outside of that, he's gaining every place else over there. And so Adam Scott just on a heater right now. I'll take it. And again, you see these, there's a trend here when you look and it's like, oh, Where did he lose off the tee? At the places that you can't be a little spray, right? Yes, and like, it's fine. Okay. He can spray it here. And I think that works out very, very well for Adam Scott. And so have him in there. The last guy that you didn't guess, Kelly Bidlin, Sahith Theegala is in. His problem has definitely been spraying it. Like, he is freaking, like, he's like me off the tee, man. Like, he steps up and, like, you, where the ball goes is like anybody's guess. But if there's a place that he can get away from it, and by the way, very familiar with this area and very familiar with this course and all the different things like that. Like, I am, I'm going to go ahead and get me some Sahith Theegala here. And I think that, look, his player profile, very bad at the ball, Valspar, but like outside of that, more tournaments than not, he's more green than red. And in this field now without Scottie Scheffler, I think that his win equity has pretty much skyrocketed, in my opinion. He's a super talented dude that does it all. And so Sahith Theegala, my final outright on the card. But you watching at home right now, you listening right now, you can pick my sixth outright, because let me tell you, I want a bomb on the card, like I do. So I'm either going to put Gary Woodland, Pot Guider,
you're not
Pontus Nyholm, yes, or whatever. Yeah, he's somehow eighth in my model, whatever.
Yeah, you learned about him in like seventh grade math, yeah, I'm like, pretty sure.
Now, Pontus Pilot, whatever his name is. Yes.
Gary Woodland, Pontus Nyholm, Aldrich Potgieter. Let us know in the comment section who I should put in. If the dude finishes in the top 10, I'll send you a master swag kit. And if he wins the damn thing, then I will take the money and we'll do like a free roll DFS contest over on one of the sites or something like that, if he actually wins. And so there we go. Pick my sixth outright, and we will get that done between Woodland, Nyholm, and Pot Guider. The only other bet to have in the account, I have Haotong Lee as the top Asian at +530.
Yeah. He rated out.
He's inside the top 10 in both of the models, way higher than all of the other Asians that are listed in that market. So I'm getting over 5-1 on him for that. I think it's a pretty good bet.
So real quick, I'll just go through. I do have a couple matchups I didn't mention, too. I'm still high on Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler in a matchup over Ben Griffin. I'm going right back there. And then Alex Smalley in a matchup over Sam Stevens. Glad you brought him up, Matt, because Haotong was kind of a just leave-off for me. And then one other name I wanted to mention. Ryan Fox was just a leave-off for me. I know you bet him, Wes. Look, I've got enough bets. It was kind of one of those, maybe the surgery. I'll just stay away from that. Just to get it out of the equation. The other name I'm a little surprised I didn't hear from any of the three of us, because he was kind of my final leave-off. Pearson Cootey.
That's who I was thinking, yes.
Yeah, and Matt, I think this goes back to something that you mentioned. I forget which golfer, but we were coming out of some of these Florida events where just the accuracy is tested so much with the driver, and Cootey's numbers do not look good from the past few weeks. But if you just kind of go and remove some of those Florida events, he starts to look a whole lot better. So he was one that
I could be mistaken. He might live in Texas too. Like
I think from Plano.
I think he lives in Dallas.
Dallas, Houston, close, sort of. Just don't drive it. Texas boy. So yeah, I think there's something there too. My card's just kind of full. I was looking to see if there was going to be a matchup out there I liked him in. But ended up being a complete stay away from me. But someone else I like, and we've bet him a lot on this podcast.
Probably Burns over Harris English in the account too, but I hadn't put that one in there yet. But certainly something I've written down to at least put in there for sure. One quick one and done thoughts before we get out of here. Now without Scottie Scheffler, I think it's wide open. If you haven't used Knapp or Goddard or any of those guys at the top, I think that those are the obvious ones to go to. I'm guessing Højgaard, for people who hadn't used him already, is now going to become a little bit more popular. So I don't know if you want to play the whole fade game or something like that. I think that's in play here. But Wes, what do you think from one and done?
Probably Knapp for me, because I think some of these other guys that are kind of in the top 10 choices, like somebody like Akitayama, some of these guys you can use later in the summer, by the way, at Detroit or Minneapolis or the John Deere, when the fields are a lot weaker and you want somebody a little bit more proven. So I think Knapp probably be the way I'd go here.
Kelly, we'll probably end up on Knapp since we both bet him, I would guess.
Yeah, that works. That works. Maybe Minwoo. Maybe Minwoo too. Did we use?
Oh, maybe so. Okay, all right. Then we'll offline.
This is a
there.
Good Minwoo course, right? This is a
yeah,
good
yeah, it
Minwoo
is. It is. We'll offline there on that one, guys. If you haven't done so already, hit that subscribe button. If you're listening to us on the audio side, subscribe, rate, review, help us climb up those charts. Do appreciate it. Now we'll list those golfers that I was talking about in the description, so you can tell me which one's going to be my sixth outright, and then we'll run a little contest there. For that one with everything. And as always, go into the comment section over on the YouTube side. Let us know what you want more of, less of, what you'd like to hear more on the podcast. We will definitely add to the show with all of that. VSiN.com for the full write-up of the tournament and also all of our plays and any plays that do get added. For Kelly, for Wes, I am Matt. Good luck on all your Houston Open bets.